It's on now. Oh, good grief. Maybe turn that down a little bit. All right, see if I can get this back on my belt. Yeah. How do you like that, Travis? So this morning, we're going to start out, though. We're going to be in, I want you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 7. I'm going to get there eventually, I promise. But this morning, looking at simply, you are blank. And I'm going to fill in the blank this morning with how God looks at you and I. Again, I want you to leave this morning being encouraged, okay? The world gives us a lot of titles, does it not? Okay, again, you're in the room with me, okay? We'll get there, okay? You're right here. Are you here with me this morning?
Yes.
All right, good deal, okay. You are blank, and the world gives us all these different kind of titles, and I listed it down over here on my page here, and I'm thinking for myself, what are some titles that I have? Well, naturally, if I'm standing up here preaching, that means I'm a pastor, okay? That's a title I'm given. Ultimately, though, I'm a father. Okay, Dacey and Ryan are not here today. They're in Vernon, Texas still. They'll be down this afternoon. But I'm a dad, okay? That's a title that I have. And boy, that's a wonderful title to have, is it not? It's a great title to have. I'm a husband. I'm a brother. I'm an uncle. I've got all these titles. A friend. I'm a neighbor. That's a great thing about living in a small town, okay? Like Cahoma now. And I'm a two-day resident, right? Okay, I know everything now, right? No. Okay. But anyway, boy, it's good to know that. One of my titles, friends here. And this morning, it's just exciting to see, okay? I'm going to call you out, Michael, okay? Michael's looking down. He's already asleep. Michael's walking his dog yesterday. Y'all don't know Michael, but he's walking his dog, Willie, okay? His big Labrador dog, okay? He's walking his dog. And me being me, I couldn't let him just walk by, could I? No, I couldn't do that. And so one of my titles is friend. And so me and Michael hit it off and we had a good discussion out there in the street. I guess that would be Main Street, Central Avenue. I don't know which. We had a good discussion and I thought he went about his way. And, you know, I'm sitting on my tailgate thinking, man, that guy probably thinks I'm just need to go back to Arkansas or something. And I'm sure he probably had those thoughts, you know. And he walked on and stuff. And I went back to my tailgate. I enjoyed my devotional on my tailgate in my pickup truck there in the driveway, okay? They say everything's bigger in Texas. I shared this with Jay a minute. They say everything's bigger in Texas, right? Evidently not the garages, because my Ford truck will not fit in the garage, okay? But anyway, so I'm sitting outside on my tailgate, and I was had my devotional, and the Methodist birds in the tree over there are singing or doing their thing, and I won't shoot them, but I'll listen to them. No, I'm just kidding. And they're just chirping away, having a good old time, and I'm sitting out there, and Michael comes by. And so I go back to my tailgate and things, and I thought it was over. But see, being in a small town, you just never know what's going to happen next. Well, I'm sitting out there, and guess who pulls up? Yeah, okay, y'all, come on now. Come on. Say it with me now. Don't make him, don't feel bad. Michael pulls up and brings a girl with him. I'm thinking, what in the world's going on now? And all of a sudden, we're driving to some place. He said, you want to go to breakfast? I said, sure, I'd love to go to breakfast. We just got a moving truck showing up, no big deal. I'd love to go to breakfast with you. So I get in the truck with them, and we start driving. Now, honestly, Michael, I thought you meant Cahoma. Maybe that was Cahoma. I don't know. But it felt like we drove for 3 hours. I don't know where we were. And he took me out somewhere. I thought maybe he was taking me out to bury me or something. I don't know.
It was just 87.
Okay. Y'all are all thinking, man, he's weird. It's just 87. So I don't even know what he's talking about. But anyway, we drove and we did. We ended up having to bring the food back. And here's how cool it is just to be friends, okay? And we're going to be talking about relationships a lot, okay? We decide to bring the food back to the truck and I get there. And so we go out on the back porch and we're out there eating, right, guys? And what happens? My phone rings, doesn't it? We're just having a good time. We're building relationships. We're starting some new friendships here. My phone rings, it's my wife, and she's like, are you not at the house? I hope she's not watching this. Are you not at the house? The movers are ringing the doorbell. We didn't hear it, did we? Heck no. Beth Ann is loud. It's hard to hear over. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. And we didn't hear it, so we had to go. But that's just a title, is friends, right? That's a title the world gives us, and that's a great title to have. But now the world gives us some really negative titles, too. Now listen to me for a second, okay? Here's the misfortune, church. This is where we focus. It's great to be a dad. It's great to be a husband. It's great to be a friend. It's great to be all those things. But what happens is we tend, for some reason, to want to focus on the titles the world gives us. And that's where our minds and our hearts need to be the furthest away. We focus on, well, I'm too short, or I'm too tall. I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not worthy enough. I'm not good enough. I fear this, I stress this. We have all these labels that we put on ourselves. Now here's the sad thing. We Christians are some of the worst at it. We allow ourselves to be labeled and put down and run over and, well, I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not this, I'm fat, I'm ugly, I'm not worthy of this person, I don't fit in, blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that. And we do all these things and we say all these things, and yet we serve an almighty God who looks at you and I and He says, you are all of these things. But we forget them. And so this morning, I want us to be encouraged and reminded of how God looks at you and I. Isn't that a wonderful relationship to have? There it is again. How many of you guys cherish your relationship with God this morning? Do you? We're going to test it out, okay? Do we really cherish that relationship with Him? So this morning, I'm going to get to Deuteronomy here in a minute, but I want to share a couple of other verses with you this morning. The first one is in the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verse 1, and it says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are," what? "Mine. You belong to me. You are my son. You are my daughter." Now again, we're Southern Baptists, we're not Pentecostal, but when it says you are mine, that's when we jump up, okay? That's when we get excited. That's when we go a little crazy. God says this morning to us, you're not fat, you're not ugly, you're not unworthy. He says, you are mine. You are so wonderful. You are so great. What else does it say in that verse, though? It ends on that great line, but it also says, you are redeemed. You are redeemed this morning. You've been forgiven. You've been released. And yet, how many of us in this room live off our past failures? Think about it for a second. We struggle, and we struggle with past addictions maybe, and we live off of that instead of realizing the fact that you are redeemed by the King of Kings. You've been released from those things. This morning, your name is so much more than all the labels of the world. You are redeemed. It also says God calls you by your what? Your name. You ever think about that, how special that is? You know how many names there are in the world? You may want to take a guess at that. Good job, Ray, but I don't think we're close. But there's a lot of names out there, okay? And God calls you and I by our name. Do you think He thinks we're pretty special? The only way I can imagine this or try to think about this, I jotted it down here in the notes here. All I can say is maybe this is really what God is doing right here. He is shouting our names to us because He wants everybody to know He knows you and me. Now that's awesome. Does it not make you feel pretty good when you're in a crowded place or you're somewhere and all of a sudden you hear your name being called out? And you turn around and maybe it's that friend you hadn't seen in a while, or maybe it's just somebody you know, and they're just so excited they don't care who's around. They're going to shout your name out. Isn't that a cool thing? Now, do you ever go in a crowded place and just shout a name for the fun of it? I'm that guy. Yeah, Travis, okay. Me and Travis, you got to go somewhere sometime. Hey, John! And like four people turn around. You don't point at any of them. That's fun. But anyway, okay, that's off track there. I'm sorry. Boy, it's hard. It's easy to get off track, isn't it, Travis? But that's what God's doing. He's going in that crowded room, and He's literally doing that. He's saying, hey, guy! Hey, John! Hey, Michael! I know your name. I want to be close to you because you are so much more to me. That's what God says to us this morning. So you are redeemed. He knows your name, and He simply says, you are mine. You belong to me. You're valuable to me. You're worth so much more than when you look in the mirror and you look at yourself and you put yourself down. You are worth so much more than that because you belong to me. You're mine. Another verse that you can look at is Psalm 139:14. And boy, if you mark in your Bible, and I encourage you to take pens and pencils and highlighters and all that, wear it out. Trust me, you can get another one, okay? Wear that Bible out. Wear it thin, okay? Psalm 139:14. It says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know what you are this morning? Now, Coach, this may take you by surprise, okay? You ready? You're a masterpiece this morning. I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? Yeah, I'm just kidding. You are a masterpiece. God looks at us, even in our faults and our sin and our hurts and the failures that we live in, and He looks at us and He says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made in my image. You are my creation. You are my perfect masterpiece. What a beautiful thing to realize this morning. What an encouraging statement to see this morning that He looks at us in that way and loves us that way. You know, when I was in student ministry, I would face a lot in student ministry, especially, yes, amongst like the teen girls, but even the teen guys. You would see this a lot where their image of themselves, their self-esteem, their self-confidence, it was just void. It just wasn't there. And they would be hurting, and they would think they weren't good enough or right enough or this or that. And here's the sad thing about it. Yes, I saw that, but then I've gone into the pastorate, and I've seen it 10 times more in adults. We live with this idea that if we don't fit into the world's standards, we're somehow not good enough. We're not great enough. We're not pretty enough. Yet God in His Word, He says, you are so much more because I have created you and you are a work of art. You're this masterpiece of mine. You say, but that's not what it says. That's not what it says, Pastor. Go to Ephesians 2:10 this afternoon. Look it up or look it up right now. First part of that verse simply says, guess what? You are God's masterpiece. Or it says, for we are God's masterpiece. Next time you look in the mirror, and I thought about bringing a mirror over here, but I didn't feel like moving 40 boxes to get to it. But I thought about putting a mirror up here on the stage, and maybe at the end of the service you can come look at it. But what happens when you look at a mirror? Okay, what happens when you look at a mirror again? All right, see yourself. All right, good job. Okay, I was starting to think they didn't teach that at Coma or Westbrook. I don't know. But anyway, when you look in a mirror, you see yourself. You see the reflection of yourself, okay? Thought about putting that up here and reminding you the next time you look in a mirror, the next time you look in there and you see faults and you see failures and you see past things that bring you down, next time you look in that mirror, go, wait a minute, I'm so much more. I'm a masterpiece of the God Almighty. He said, but the world doesn't see me that way. That's not how other people view me. Shame on them. Because what matters most? The way the world views us or the way God sees us? The way God sees us. That should be our top priority. And God sees us as a masterpiece of His. Now flip back to Deuteronomy. I promise you now. I told Michael, but look, right here. I'm not lying, buddy. I have my timekeeper, okay? See my timekeeper? It's going. 16 minutes in, I better talk fast and loud, okay? But Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6, one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Such a neat reminder of just how very much God loves you and I. It says, for you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself. And the next line, it just captures my heart every time. A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. You are so very much more this morning. You mean so much to God. And in this one verse, we see three things here. It says, you are holy. What does it mean to be holy? It means to be dedicated to God. It means to have meaning and purpose. And God says this morning, you are a holy people. You are my sons and daughters called by me. I have given you meaning and I have given you purpose. Now, I don't know about you, but that excites me. That makes me not happy because happy is fleeting. It makes me joyful. Joyful, being joyful is eternal. That makes me so joyful to know that God looks at me and he says, you're holy. You've been dedicated to me. You have a purpose that far exceeds our feeble understanding. Now, I look around the room and a lot of you guys and even the little kiddos over here are much smarter than me, I can tell you right now. Amen. All right, there we go. We'll get there, okay? And I can't even fathom or begin to imagine that God looks at me and he says, you're holy. You're dedicated to me. You have a purpose far greater than you can ever grasp or understand. You're a holy people. And then he does something else. He says, you are a chosen people. How many in the room this morning can honestly say, I sure am happy God picked me? Okay, again, I know we'll get there, okay? It may take a few years, okay? Okay? We'll get there, okay? We're chosen by God. Amen. God has picked us. We are so much more than we give ourselves credit for. We are so much more valuable and we have so much more meaning to the world that's around us today, and yet we do not even see it or realize it. He says, you are holy. You are chosen. And then he does something that just blows me away. It may not blow you away, but it blows me away. He says, you are a special treasure. You ever feel down in the dumps? Okay, hand raising time. You ever feel down in the dumps? You ever feel double down in the dumps? That's both hands. I need to take a picture of that. Okay. We do. We feel that way. We get that way. And yet God looks at us in our messes, in our addictions, in our hurts, in just plain stupidity. And he looks at you and I and he goes, you are my special treasure. You're so valuable. When we think of treasure, you see my childish side coming out a little bit here. When I think of treasure, the first thing that comes to mind is pirates. Okay, all right, we're getting there, okay? Maybe I should have worn an eye patch and a peg leg today, but pirates. And pirates, what do? They seek out what? They hunt treasure. Good job, all right. That's what they do. And so I have this image in my mind, God is calling me a special treasure. So what's God doing? I'm so much more because God is seeking me out. He desires to know me. He wants that relationship with me. That's the cool thing about God. And again, there's the word relationship. We should have that same desire to say, God, you're my treasure. God, I want that relationship with you. I'm going to seek it out. I'll cross every mountain. I'll cross every oil field. I'll do whatever it takes to seek and to find and to have that treasure. Because that's what God's doing to you and I. He wants it. He desires it. You are a special treasure, more valuable than anything else. Do you know how I know that I am more valuable to God than anything else? That you are more valuable to God than anything else? Do you know how I know that? Guys, here's how I know it. Right here. Right here. In this word, in this Bible, in this holy book, whatever you title it by, God sent His one and only Son to do the unthinkable for you and me. That's how I know He looks at me as treasure. Because if He was willing to do that, He must really love me and you, amen? He must. My timer's at 22. I'll speed it up. Ephesians 2:5. Ephesians 2:5 and simply says, I'm paraphrasing, even when we were dead, God made us alive. You are, this may come to a shock to some in the room this morning, you are alive. Boy, I even did this morning. I'm 3 steps away from Satan. You know, I mean, no, that's the gator thing, guys, if you didn't know that. Okay. You are alive this morning. See, without God, we're dead, amen? We've been reborn. We've been adopted. We've been given a new life. And God says to us this morning, you are so much more than the world's titles. You are so much more than those things you put on yourself. You are so much more than all of those things. And here's something really cool. You are alive. You're living. But now for too many Christians, listen to me. Look at me. I promise. I'm wrapping it up. I'm nearly at that 25-minute pinnacle, okay? Here's what happens. We go out in the world, and we look just as dead as they do. You hear me? We look just as discouraged as they do. We look just as defeated as they do. The world doesn't need to see that, amen? You are so much more. God says to you and I this morning, you are alive because of me. Because of what I've done for you. Because of what I can do for you. So when you go home today, I almost challenge you, okay? Some of y'all, it looks like y'all didn't look in a mirror this morning, Jay. No, I'm just kidding, okay. But go home and look in that mirror. Look at that mirror and let it stare back at you for a minute. And think about those thoughts that you have. Or maybe you struggle with some of those things I've mentioned this morning. Maybe you do. Don't try to hide them. Take that moment and have some personal time with God and say, God, I need to give you these things because I do realize I am so much more because of who you are to me. What I am in you. Folks, do you want to reach First Baptist Church, Cahoma for Christ? Amen. Do you want to reach this community for Christ? Yes, sir. Well, guys, I can tell you right now, it will not happen. Look at me. It will never, ever, ever happen until we are right with Christ here. We cannot share Christ with the community around us if we're already defeated. If we think we're not valuable enough, we're not worthy enough. God, this morning, leave encouraged. You are more than you can ever imagine. That's how much God loves us. Amen? Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for your word. God, I thank you for the fact that, God, when you look at us, you don't see what we see. But God, you see more things than we can ever imagine. God, I pray for each individual in this room this morning. God, there may be a young man or a young lady or a senior adult this morning, God, that is struggling with something that the world has titled them as. God, I pray that they would see you in the light of who you are and how you see them. God, we love you this morning. As we go into this time of invitation, I pray that our hearts would be open to you, that we would not be embarrassed about moving forward or ashamed of the fact that we need you. For it's in Christ's name we do pray. Amen.